119 is where we're at tonight. Man, I've enjoyed the study that we're going to do in this book. I enjoyed last Wednesday. You remember, this is an alphabet psalm, 22 letters, the Hebrew alphabet, and you'll notice the heading of each section of 8 verses. Aleph is what we looked at. You see Aleph in verse over top of the heading of verse 1. That's the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Then verse 1 begins with that letter. Verse 2 begins with that letter. Verse 3 begins with that letter. It was an alphabet psalm. Now tonight, we're going to move on to Beth. And that was named after Bethany Dye, I believe. And so that's the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So 8 verses again. Verse 9 starts with that letter. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, and so on. The alphabet psalms probably was for the purpose of memory, so you could memorize them. And this will come to play probably tonight in the message. Everybody didn't have a copy of the Scriptures. We don't realize how blessed we are to have a copy of the Scriptures. Many copies. They didn't. So much of their Bible knowledge had to be what? It had to be in their mind. It had to be in their heart. And it had to be memorized. And that's where you need it the most anyhow. That's where you need it the most anyhow. And so they would have alphabet psalms probably for that purpose, and maybe for the purpose also of teaching young children the alphabet. You ever think about that? Don't we got a song to teach young children the alphabet? They did, Psalms 119. Well, could you imagine memorizing all 176 verses of Psalm 119? You could if you divided it up that way. Now, we've entitled this whole psalm, The Wonder of the Word. The wonder of the Word. It's the focus of it. It's mentioned in nearly every verse except for maybe three or four. Over 170 times, God's Word is mentioned in one form or the other. Statutes, law, called the Word. Different words, but it's all referring to the Word of God. So I give you 8 of them that's used last week in verses 1 through 9. Different words, but all referring to the Word of God. Okay, so that's the focus of this particular psalm, is God's Word. Now, the title of last week's was The Happy Person, and that's what we dealt with last week. Now, verses 9 through 16, we're going to entitle that How to Cleanse Your Way. How to Cleanse Your Way. Now, when you talk about your way, you're talking about your course of life. You're talking about how you live. And when you look at the text, it says to cleanse your way is to walk in such a fashion as to be clean and undefiled by sin and live in such a way as pleasing to God. That's what it means to walk in this particular way. How shall a young man cleanse his way? That's his manner of life. Now, the young man is addressed probably because young men, I know everybody's prone because of our sinful nature to fall into a path of sin, but particularly young men are. So that could be why young men is mentioned, but all the principles in the text which deals with how to cleanse your way applies to all of us. And certainly what cleanses our way is the Word of God. Now there's a question and an answer in verse 1. I want you to notice it. It says, verse 9, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? Wherewith carries the idea of how shall a young man cleanse his way? Now, that's the reason why we give it the title, How to Cleanse Your Way. I just left out young man, because it's applicable to all of us. We want to walk in the Lord's way, should we not? We want to walk in a way that is clean, undefiled, and pleasing to God. And what this text does is it shows us how to do that. Now, the question is, how shall a young man cleanse his way? The answer, then, is given in the second part of verse 1. How can you cleanse your way? What's it say? By taking heed thereunto according to your word. By taking heed to the word of God is how you cleanse your way. The word of God has that much power when it's used by the Holy Spirit. It'll change the way that you live. It'll change the way that you conduct yourself. Now, I want to address the parents first this evening, parents and those of you that are teachers. It's very important especially for young people, especially from a child up, it's very important to get the Word of God in the lives of your children. You say, well, why is it so important? Well, number one, the Word of God makes them wise to salvation. Now, don't you want your children to be wise to salvation? Can you think of anything any more important than your children being wise unto salvation? So you have to get them from the time they're very small. You have to get them the Word of God and teach them the Word of God. Have to do that because we're not going to spend that long a time here anyhow. I mean, if we live to be 100, that's not very long, is it? In comparison to eternity, one of the great things that I desired for my sons is I wanted them to be saved, but I couldn't make that decision for them, could I? I couldn't save them. But one thing that I could do, and one thing that I think the Scriptures teaches you to do, is I could train them in the Scriptures and teach them in the Scriptures. So that's why you want to take heed to it, is because one of the things it does is it makes them wise to salvation. But number two, it teaches them how to live. Don't you want your children to walk into a way that's clean and undefiled from sin? You know, there's so much out there, especially today. So many paths for young people and older people to get involved in that are defiled paths, that are paths of sin. So if you want to walk in the right way, and if you want to walk in such a fashion as pleases the Lord, then you got to get the Word of God in your life. You got to have it in there. And you want to make sure your children are taught that. Now, I'm going to give you four ways to get the Word of God in your children's life. Four ways. Real quick, this is a message in and of itself, but I'm going to give you four ways to get the Word of God in your children's life. Are you ready? Number one, teach them at home. Teach them at home. That's the main place anyhow. You say, I thought the church was. No, sir. We support you and help you. Hopefully, you're teaching them at home because you have them every day. You have them for more time than we do. We'll teach them, instruct them in the Scriptures. But historically, the main instructor in the Scriptures have always been the parents, and it must be. Now, in 2000, almost 2008, and then going into 2009, this is the part that has been left out as far as parents are concerned. You must religiously educate your children, and that's the most important education they can get. Do you agree? Why is that? Because it makes them wise to salvation. It shows them paths that are wrong and paths that they need to avoid, and it shows them how to walk in a clean way. What does all that? The Word does. You know what cleansed my way? You know what made the difference in my life? The Word of God did it. Made a difference in my son's lives. So you want to get the Word of God in there, and one of the ways you have to do that is teach them at home. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go. Train him up in the way that he should go. And when he is old, they will not depart from it. You have to train them up from a little child all the way up. You have to train them. Get the Word of God in their minds. The book of Ephesians 6, it addresses fathers. And it tells them to bring their children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Meaning that they are to put in their mind the things of God's Word in their mind. And it has a cleansing effect upon them. It makes them wise, and it teaches them what's right and teaches them what's wrong. We're raising a generation of children in America today that has no idea what God's Word says. No idea. No idea what is right and no idea what is wrong. Now, you know why that is? They're not getting no teaching out of this book. And I'm telling you, it needs to start when they're this high. It needs to start when they're this high. And it must be done by you. Teach them at home. Can you know anything any more important? Eternal life's the most important thing that your children could have. The Scriptures will make them wise to it. You don't want them to end up on drugs. You don't want them to end up drinking. You don't want them to end up committing fornication and all these things. So what do you have to do? You teach them what the Scripture says. You teach them. It'll help cleanse their way. So you teach them at home. Number two, live it at home. You got to live it at home. You got to do more than talk it. You must also do it. If you don't do it, it just counteracts what you say. Used to have an old preacher used to say, your actions speak so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. And that's so true. You must not only teach it, but you have to also live it. Paul said in the book of Philippians, that which you have both heard and seen in me, do. So you must also live it before them. Set a good example for them to follow. They should see how to live by watching you. They should see what's wrong by watching you. It never ceases to amaze me how folks don't see the importance of not only teaching the Word, but also not living the Word. And of course, I think your religion shows itself in the home more than anywhere else anyway. I mean, sometimes you can be one thing at church and something altogether different in the home, and children will see that, and you'll never impact them that way. So these are two ways here in the text to get the Word in their lives. How you do it? First of all, you teach them from a child up. I want to tell you something. I was taught I can't remember not being taught God's Word. From a child up, it impacted my life. It changed my way. Now, you know, a child may depart from it. You may train them and teach them and set the example, and they still may depart from it. But you know what? If they've got that base core teaching in their hearts and in their minds, the Lord many times has a way of bringing them back to it. It's amazing. I've seen that happen so many times. They've come back. And what brought them back is they were taught these teachings in their mind. I read this to you in the past, and I didn't bring it with me tonight, so I'm going to do the best I can with it. The writer of Amazing Grace was John Newton. I hope I got his name right. But I believe his mother passed away when he was about 6. And I forget how many scriptures that she taught him. She taught him, and he had them memorized. And I forget how many scriptures. That's one of the things his mother did, is she put in his mind the Word of God from 1 to 6. She just, it was hundreds of scripture, if I remember right, that he had in his mind. Now, of course, you know John Newton ended up being a very wicked man. He was a slave ship captain. And he lived a life it was a horrible life. That's why he wrote Amazing Grace. It saved a wretch like me. He was a wretch. He really was. And I read about where he was out at sea and a tremendous storm came. And he was talking to someone on the ship, and he said, basically, it's in God's hands, was his statement. And it just overwhelmed his mind. And all of that scripture that his mother had taught him came back to his mind. And it was one of the first times in years he had used God's name without using it in profanity. And it touched his heart. And the Holy Spirit brought back to his mind the things that he was taught. And John Newton was saved. Well, he was trained from 1 to 6. He was trained at a young age. And those scriptures came back, and the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, opened his heart, and the Lord saved him. And he left behind a great evidence of his salvation, wasn't it? Amazing grace. So, you teach it, and you live it. What's the third thing to do? Well, I want to show you this one again. Turn to the Psalms 92. We're not that far away. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about the importance of the Word. It makes children wise to salvation. It helps them cleanse their way, keeps their way clean, if you get it down in their hearts and in their minds. Now we're looking at how we do that. We train them at home, and then we live it at home. That'll have a double impact. Number 3, you need to plant them somewhere. Look at verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. And they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. And they shall be fat and flourishing. That's spiritually. So where do they need to be planted at? Where do you need to plant your children at? You need to plant them in God's house. On earth, this is the best place to bring them to. Do you agree? It's a good, wholesome atmosphere. We don't charge you when you come in. We do got a box we'd like you to fill every now and again, though. But we don't charge you a fee to come in. And you get to hear words that can affect you for eternity. And that can change your life. So you need to plant them in the house of God. There's people here that can influence your children. I was influenced in my life by a Sunday school teacher. I don't know how many people you can talk to that were influenced by a Sunday school teacher. They had a Sunday school teacher that loved them, faithfully ministered the word. I had a Sunday school teacher named Dick Liptrap. He was my Sunday school teacher, and I loved him. Now, he didn't let us carry on either. Now, he maintained discipline in there, I'll tell you that. But we knew he loved us. And he would sit there and he'd teach us the word of God, and I can still see him talking about the blood of Jesus. He loved to talk about the blood of Christ and the salvation which is in Christ. And it left an impact on me. He impacted me. You want your children to be influenced by people at church. And they can be. And they can be. So you want to plant them in the house of God. Now, plant means to have you there a pretty good bit, doesn't it? Plant them. Put them in God's house as much as you can, so because the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a place where God's word is taught. That's what it's about. And the word of God can change. Plant them here. Plant them here. Number four, talk about the things of God in casual conversation. In casual conversation, talk about the things of the Lord. Let me show you that real fast. Boy, I'm running out. I got enough preaching here for 2 more hours. But let's go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy. If I rush, I always mess things up, so I just take my time and do the best we can with what we get in. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'll give you the four again. Now, this should be a goal that every parent has and every Sunday school teacher has. Verse 6 of Deuteronomy 6, it says, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart." That's in your mind. So you want them in your heart. You want to have them where you can call them to memory. We'll talk about that later. "And thou shalt do what? Teach them diligently unto thy children." Now, we done talked about that. "And you shall talk of them." Everybody see that? Talk of them. "When you sit in your house, when you're walking by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." That's casual conversation. Talking about him all the time. Oh, my. You talk about what's most important to you. Do you agree? You talk about what's most important to you. The most important person in my life is Jesus Christ. He saved my soul. And the greatest blessing is to be saved from your sin and to have a home in heaven with him. That's a great, and then if that's the greatest thing in your life, then that's what you should talk about. And as you're sitting at the table, talk about the Lord in casual conversation. And that impacts children also. You got those four? Let me give the four to you. Again, teach them at home. Never too late to start that. Number two, live it at home. What you teach, they need to see. That's a double emphasis. Number three, plant them in God's house. Bring them out to where they can sit under it as much as you can. The Word of God can change their life and influence their life, and you want it to. Number four, and talk about it in casual conversation. You got all four of those? So that's why you want the Word of God in there. Let's go ahead and turn back to Psalms 119. Read verse 1 again, and we'll move on into the rest of the section. "How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the Word." The Word of God will cleanse your way. It shows you how to be saved. It shows you how to be saved, and it shows you how to live. That means someone needs to teach it to. And I give you four ways that you're to do that. Okay, now let's go ahead. It says to take heed to the Word. Now, there's a lot of folks that know the Word that don't take heed to it. Don't pay attention to it. They don't put it in their lives. They don't put it into practice. And I'm going to show you, now don't let this throw you, I'm going to show you eight ways that you take heed to the Word of God. You write these down. We'll go through each verse. I attached one pretty much to each verse. How do you take heed to the Word of God? How do you take heed to the Word of God? Well, let's look at verse 11. Psalms 119, I'm sorry, verse 10. "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." With my whole heart have I done what? have I sought thee? Number one, how do you take heed to the word? First of all, you have to seek it. If you're going, you know how you seek the Lord, folks? You seek him in his word. You want to learn more about him? You want to learn how to live as to please him? You want direction for your life? How do you seek the Lord? You seek him through the word. So how do you take heed to the word? You first of all do it by seeking it. One of the things we have, and I've done mentioned it already, each of us have a copy of the scriptures. And if you're going to take heed to the word, you need to seek to what the scriptures have to say. We need to read them. We need to read them as the Bereans did every day of our life. We need to read some in the scriptures. Acts 17, verse 11, the Bereans were Bible students and they searched the scriptures daily. If I asked this, if I did, and I'm not, I'm really not, but if I asked you to raise your hand and you searched the scriptures daily, could you raise your hand? Everyone should be able to do that. If you could just glance at it for 5 minutes, it's better than nothing at all. So you need to seek it, which means you need to read it. You need to read it. Now, of course, if you're going to read it, you also need to come to where you can hear it taught. This is also part of seeking it. And of course, we've done mention the church. We're not going to talk a lot about that, but you've got a great opportunity to listen to the scriptures. Teach through books on Wednesdays and on Sunday nights. Brother Mike Shamlin on Sunday mornings. You got a good Bible teacher there. You got a Bible school here where you can get teaching. You got a radio broadcast where you can get teaching. So you see, that's a lot of feeding, ain't it? And how you seek the Lord is by seeking to his word. And I pray that's what you're doing. So how do you take heed to the word? What's the first one? Well, you need to seek it. You need to seek it. If someone doesn't have a desire for food, sometimes you'll go to the doctor and they're trying to diagnose what's the matter with you. And you know what they'll sometimes ask you? Do you got any appetite? You ever have a doctor ask you, how's your appetite? And you'll say, man, I don't have no appetite. What's that a sign of? It's a sign you're sick, isn't it? Man, if you don't have no appetite for the Word of God, it's a sign you're sick. It's a sign you're sick. It's a sign you've drifted. It's a sign you're not where you need to be. So I've diagnosed a problem, have I not? So you need to have a desire for it. And if you don't have a desire for it, you need to ask the Lord to rekindle that desire for the Word, because as you get in it, as you seek Him in the Word of God, it strengthens you and encourages you, okay? Number one, how you take heed? Number one, you seek it. Number two, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Number two, you hide it. Not only do you seek it, but you hide it. Where you hide the word of God at? You put it in your heart. As a man thinketh in his, you think in your heart. That's talking about your mind. You need the word of God in your mind. You need to get to where you can memorize scripture. I encourage you to do that. And we're going to start doing that tonight. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a verse each week to memorize. One verse each week to memorize. And I'm going to give you an easy one. I've done picked it out for you. I picked out verse 11 for you. If you go to Bible school here, you should know it. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Write that down on a little index paper, or a little card or something. Write it down on there, Psalms 119:11. Write the scripture. Put it in your pocket or in your pocketbook, and every now and then, during each day, read it. And then look at it, several times a day, look at it. And after a while, guess what? You'll have it in your mind, and you'll remember it. So I'm going to give you one each week. That's the first one. And then I'll call on someone to quote it next week. Just kidding you. I'm going to do that. So memorize that. Psalms 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. That's why you want it in your heart. Not only do you seek it, but you hide it in here. And it'll keep you from sinning. It'll keep you from sinning. Have you ever got ready to do something was wrong and the scriptures came to your mind? And it kept you from doing it? It's a deter to sin. You remember whenever Satan tempted the Messiah in Matthew chapter 4? Command that these stones be made bread. Cast yourself off the temple. All these things will I give you if you bow down and worship me. Three times, what did Jesus do? It is written. It is written. He quoted scripture. He quoted it. He didn't read it. He quoted it. Of course, being the author of it, he knows it. But he quoted the scriptures. And he used it as a sword against the devil's temptation. That's what we do. So we got to have it in our minds. And we got to have it, of course, in our hearts. Hide it in here. You know, when you're working on a job, I know this has happened to me sometimes. It's happened to me in the hospitals. It's happened to me at different places. Sometimes you don't have a Bible with you. And sometimes in witnessing, you need to be able to quote. I used an illustration Sunday morning of a lady that I presented the gospel to. I didn't have my Bible with me, but I was able to quote the scriptures and able to call to remind the scriptures, scriptures that she knew. But it's you need to have them here so you can use them. Sometimes when you're working on a job, you can't carry King James down the loading dock, but you can carry it in your mind. And when you need, maybe someone asks you a question, you quote it. You tell them what the scripture has to say. You see, some people, you are the only scriptures they'll hear many times is out of your mouth. So you want to not only seek it, but you want to hide it, which means to memorize it. Thy word will I hide in my heart that I might not sin against God. Number 3, verse 12. Verse 12 means you need to be taught it. You need to be taught it. Notice it says, blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. For statutes is another word that's used for the scriptures, his statutes. He asks the Lord to teach him his statutes. Do you want to learn the word? You know who your teacher actually is? The Lord's your teacher. He's the one that shows you things in the word. Now, I'm a preacher. I teach. I search. And I try to hide it in my heart. But before I ever teach you, I ask him to teach me. To show me what you need to hear. And to show me what passages of Scripture means. And I ask him to open my mind so that I can see. So we need to be taught it. And we need the Lord to teach it to us. And how we do that is by in prayer asking him. Look down at verse 18. Look at this prayer. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That's a good prayer to pray before you ever read your Bible. It's a good prayer to pray before you ever come to church. Lord, open my eyes and I may see your word and understand what your word has to say. So how do you take heed to the word? I've showed you 3 ways. You got to seek it. You got to have time in it. You need to be searching. And you need to come, of course, where you can hear it. Number 2, you got to hide it in your mind. Hide it in your heart. Know it. Have it memorized. Memorize. You say, oh, my memory is horrible. There's no one's as bad as mine. My memory is horrible. But it's amazing how the Lord will help you memorize Scripture. Will help you memorize Scripture. You take one verse a week, in 52 weeks, you'll have 52 verses of the Scripture right here that you can use. Remember Psalms 119:11? Then you got to be taught it. And you got to ask the Lord to open your understanding of the Scriptures and show you things. When you come to church and when you read it. Number 4, you got to declare it. Look at verse 13. With my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. You need to declare it. You need to share it with other people. Do you ever talk about the Scriptures to other people? So, well, I don't like to talk about religion. Well, I can understand not getting in. I don't like to get in a... I never did get in a public forum like on a job and start arguing with somebody over the Scriptures. Don't do that. That turns unbelievers off. I never did fool with stuff like that. But the Lord gave me a lot of opportunities to declare the Scriptures to people that I worked with. I've seen several people I worked with saved. The Lord used different... I have one boy who doesn't go to church here now, but it's blessed me so much. He said, Jeff, me and you both worked here at this plant, and you know I think the Lord worked behind the scenes just to bring us together so that you could present the gospel to me. You know I believe that too. He said, I don't think we was just here to work, but I think the Lord gave you the opportunity to share Jesus with me. And I love that, and that's true. I got to declare to him Jesus and why he died and things. And I didn't do it when I was supposed to be working, and it wasn't a quarrel or anything. It just was casual talk. Talk to him about the Lord. Lord will give you opportunities like that. Oh, I'm telling you, folks, if you're saved on your job, if someone wants to know something about the Lord, they should know to come to you. They should know to come to you. And it's amazing, the people that will, when they see that you, of course, live the life. Psalms, or 1 Peter 3:15 says, if any man ask any reason of the hope that is in you, that we need to be able to give an answer. We need to be able to give an answer. So we need to declare the word. That's how we heed the word, is by declaring the word to other people. I was talking to Jeremy before services started, and it's amazing how many people believe things. I want you to listen to me. How many people believe things just because their preacher does? And it's amazing how many people believe things just because mom and dad do, or grandma and grandpa does, and they never seek it out. They never do. I remember I was at now this was a good thing, this wasn't a bad thing. Gary, I was at a negotiating table, and the company had their head negotiator over there, and I was, of course, on this side negotiating. It wasn't arguing, we was negotiating. So anyhow, we was getting ready to take a break, and he asked me about, did we take Holy Communion? He was Roman Catholic. It was a mass. And right there in front of everybody. Well, what was I supposed to do? I said, not the same as you. Ours is different. Ours is a memorial. We remember that Christ died. That's how I wanted to present the gospel. We remember that Christ died for our sins and rose again the third day. Now, where yours is different, I don't know if you know that or not. When you take it, don't the priest call it the body of Christ and mention that bread and that wine comes to life? He said, well, I never looked at it like that, but yes, they do. And here's his statement. I guess you always just accept it because everybody else does, but you don't check it out yourself. I said, well, that's a great deal of difference. They're saying Jesus is being crucified again and again and again at every Mass. So I declared that there. I didn't argue. I just declared it. It's a fact. I mean, it's just a fact. But he'd never searched that out. Raised in it. Raised in it all of his life. And I really liked him. I got to where I really did like him. And he was the same age I was. And he died about a year later. But I knew he was told the gospel at least one time. So you declare it. Oh, the Lord gives you opportunity to declare the truths of Scripture. If you got, and that's why you got to have it in your mind. Okay, the next, verse 14. I'm going to give them all to you at the end. I'm moving. That's why I'm moving fast, to get them all in. You got to rejoice in it. Rejoice in it. Verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as all riches. Skip down to verse 16, and I will delight myself in your statutes. It says that I will rejoice in your way, in the way of your testimonies, as much in all riches. I was talking to a fellow one time, and he was driving over in Ohio, and he called me. He's a buddy of mine. I worked with him. He called me and said, you'll never guess. He was beaming. He was happy. I could tell on the phone he was happy. And he said, you know, I was driving down the road, and I slammed on the brakes. I seen something. And he said, I got out of the road, and I found five $20 bills. I didn't see who dropped them, but he said, I picked all five of them up. And right there in the middle of the road, I guess it blowed. I don't know how. What? I don't know how it got there. Last time I did that, someone had a string hung on it and pulled one of them fake ones out. But anyhow, there was five of them. And he was talking about that. And you know how he was so happy? Well, folks, it says that God's word, we're to rejoice in it like riches. When you find the truths, when God speaks to you through his word, it just fills you with joy. When I got Bible truths that I know, Bible doctrines that I know, and you can put anyone in this pulpit that believes those doctrines, and when I hear them, it brings a smile across my face. I rejoice in the word. That's how you take heed in it. You rejoice in it. Aren't you glad to be able to hear the scriptures? Be able to listen to them, and you'll hear those old doctrines that you believe, and the Lord has shown you, and it just causes you to rejoice. Listen to Harlan preach, and he preaches those truths, or Brother Hollis, or Jeremy, or Jeff, and all them preaching, and it just brings rejoicing. You rejoice in the word. You rejoice in it. A lot of people don't rejoice in the Word, though. They don't. They don't want to hear it. They just don't want to hear it. And there's a lot of church people don't want to hear it. They want something a little bit more flashy. There's nothing. What's this whole psalm about? The wonder of the Word. It'll make you happy. It'll make you happy. It'll cleanse your way. It'll show you how to be saved. See? It'll show you how to live. It'll help you cleanse your life. It's powerful. That's why you got to have it in your life. If you don't get the Word of God, what happens to you? Does anybody know? Watch how spiritual you get if you don't get it. Watch how defiled you get if you don't get it. That's why after that you're saved, the devil does everything he can to get your nose out of that book. And he'll do everything he can to get you out of the house of God. Because if he can do that, watch how you become. I know how you become. I've been there. You quit. If I would quit getting the Word of God tonight, quit hearing it, quit reading it, and quit, you know, just get it completely to where I'm not around it. You know, in about a month, I'm going to be different spiritually than I am tonight. I'll be more worldly. I'll be more fleshy in my thinking and in my actions over time. You see what I mean? If he can get you out of the Word, that's what happens to you. And that's why he goes after it. He goes after that like crazy. You watch anybody. Anybody. I don't care who it is. And you unplug them from the Word of God, you watch how weak they get and more unfruitful they get. And how worldly they become. That's how it works. And the devil knows it. So you need to rejoice in it. Let's go ahead, verse 15. It says, I will meditate in thy precepts. You need to meditate in it. That's another way you heed it. Now, meditation doesn't mean you roll your, like in Buddhist priests, roll their eyes back in their head and meditate that way. Meditation in Scripture means to think about it. Roll it over and over again in your mind. To muse on it. Chuck Swindoll said, I hate to use this illustration, but it'll help you remember it. Chuck Swindoll said it's like a cow out in the field chewing its cud, and it'll swallow it, and then it brings it back up to chew on it some more. I'm sorry, but you'll remember it. That's how the Scriptures is. You'll chew on them. You'll think about them. Then you'll, you know, swallow them down, then you bring them back up and think on them some more. Now, when I worked 50 hours a week or 60, you know, when I worked a lot of hours and pastored too, I depended on that. I'd get Scriptures, and as I work, I'd think about them, and I'd roll them over again. Now, what does this mean? Thy word will I hide in my heart. Now, what does that mean, hide in your heart? What is the heart? What is that talking about? Well, it's talking about the man. How do you hide it in your heart? And I would just think about all and ask all these questions about it, see? And before long, I'd see an outline. That's where your sermons come from. And many times it's while I was loading drums, while I was working. I could still meditate. I had such a job that didn't require total concentration. Mine just required stacking. And I could meditate while I stacked. Some of you can't do that on a job, but you can meditate. Get a break. You meditate on it. That card you got your memory verse on, pull it out and meditate on it. Chew on it a while. What's this mean? What's this talking about? How does this apply to me? See, that's what meditation means. Bring it up. Swallow it back down and bring it up again. Keep chewing on it. See, that's meditation. If I could ask you a question, do you ever meditate on the Word of God? Very few do. Very few do. Okay. Also, verse 15, I will meditate on thy precepts. And you need to not only meditate on it, you need to respect it. You need to respect the Word. That's another way you take heed to it. You know, the Jews were very respectful of the Word of God. Very respectful. You can read where when Ezra opened the Scriptures in the book of Nehemiah, all the people stood up out of respect. I'm going to tell you on this end of it, it's a shame many times how disrespectful people are to the Word of God when it's read or to the Word of God when it's preached. Very disrespectful. So, if you ever noticed, I've drawn your attention to this in the past, and it needs to continually be drawn attention to. You need to respect the Word when it's preached, because it is the Word. If what I'm saying is Scripture, then what I'm saying is the Word of God, and you need to respect it as that. Search it, make sure it's so, but you need to respect it. You need to insist that your children respect it. Respect it, okay? Last of all, I will delight myself in the statutes, and I will not forget thy word. You don't forget it. You don't forget it. Can you forget the word? You can forget to obey it. Now, you can look at our land, and as a whole, that's what's happening. People are forgetting the word. They might have known it at one time, but they're forgetting it. That's what the nation of Israel did. They took the word of God and they casted it behind their backs, and they never respected it, and they forgot it. And they never obeyed it. And it affected their whole land. It affected their whole land. Don't forget it. If you push the word of God out of your life will become a mess. Tremendous mess. That's what it leads to. And that's what it means to take heed to it. Eight, I believe it's a total of eight. I'm going to give them all to you again. How do you take heed to the word of God? Let me give it to you. You seek it. You hide it. Memorize it. You're taught it. You ask the Lord to teach you, to open your mind to it, before you come to church and before you read it. Number four, you declare it. You share it with other people. You declare it. Number five, you rejoice in it. You consider it a blessing to hear it. Consider it a blessing to hear it. Rejoice in getting to hear it. It's exciting to go where people rejoice to hear the word. It's hard. You meditate on it. You respect it. And you don't forget it. Those are ways that you heed the scriptures. And that's why it's so important that you have them. You have them in your life. Let's all stand.